Felda Brotherton has been writing historical romance novels for many a year. It is through her research for her stories that she found a love for history. Brotherton has also written 6 nonfiction books, one of which is titled Ozark, Meals, and Memories. Growing up in the Boston Mountains, Brotherton remembers many a meal cooked by her mother and aunts, such as beans and cornbread, squash jam, and possum. Brotherton will take part in a panel discussion at the Fayetteville Public Library this Saturday during that organization's Flavors of the Ozarks event. It's part of the Arkansas Department of Heritage's Heritage Month. Brotherton stopped by the Carver Center for Public Radio last week to talk food with me. She says Ozark food and Southern food don't really differ all that much.
Southern food has a lot of seafoods that we don't have because of New Orleans and the food that you get from down there. But other than that, there's not that much difference. It's just good old-fashioned Southern cooking. Arkansas is the South, as well as the West. So you find pinto beans and fried chicken. I have a lot of things in the book that are a little unusual out of the Ozarks. We used to eat, you're going to cringe, but we used to eat possum and coon when things were tough. And there was even a big yellow woodpecker, hammerhead woodpecker, that they used to eat. I talked to a gentleman who said when his family got really hungry, the boys would go out and hunt for these hammerhead woodpeckers, and they'd eat those. But we never did. I never recall that. And I don't have that recipe in the book, but I do have a little story about the gentleman who told me that. I did a lot of stories in the book from interviews.
And so you ate possum and raccoon when you were growing up?
Yeah, and as a young child. Of course, we left Arkansas when I was 5 or 6 years old, so I don't really recall a lot of this, but my mother continued to do a lot of that kind of cooking even after we moved to Kansas, where we could get some of the foods.
So we're talking maybe like the 1940s or 1940s,
late 40s.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I've had squirrel and dumplings before. Mm-hmm. So would your mother cook the possum kind of like that? Like put it in sort of a soup like that?
Possum is so greasy that they would boil it first, and then they would bake it like a roast or something, usually with sweet potatoes or something around it that would pick up the flavor from the possum. Deep in the Ozarks, that was a staple food for a long time because they were so available. But a lot of people now say, oh, that's terrible to eat.
Well, we think it's roadkill. You know,
yeah,
that's how most people picture
right.
it.
Right. But those are the most unusual things. Of course, the recipe book that I have, we have a little section on the Boston Mountain type cooking, and then the rest of it is just things that my mother gathered. Tomato dumplings was a favorite of my son-in-law's mother, so they shared that recipe with me because my mother never made tomato dumplings.
Well, so how are tomato dumplings different from the chicken and dumplings and squirrel and dumplings that I'm used to?
Well, it was sweet and had cinnamon in it. Some people didn't put the cinnamon in, but it had sugar, and you put that in your dumplings and just dropped them in the ripe tomatoes that you had cooked, boiled on the stove like you would boil chicken or something, and then dropped those dumplings, those sweet dumplings, in. My mother liked to put cinnamon in them.
So it's a tomato broth instead of a...
Right.
Yeah,
yeah, there's no... it's more of a dessert type, but you ate it along beside chicken. It was delicious because it had that little sweet taste to it. So that was a favorite of hers, and I picked that up from her. But most of them are from my mother.
You said you focus, there's a section in your book that focuses on the Boston Mountain cooking.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you mentioned the tomato dumplings, but are there some other dishes that are different?
Well, yeah, most of your squirrel fried okra is a thing that, of course, you find fried okra in all of Southern cooking. But my aunt used to make green tomatoes and fried and okra that wasn't fried. She cooked them until they were thick. I never liked it very much because the okra would make it slimy, stringy. But when she made it, it was good. I never was able to make it it just never turned out right. But green tomatoes and okra were something that I didn't find any place else in recipe books. Now, it could be there are places out of the Boston Mountains where people ate, but they ate a lot here of just pinto beans and cornbread. That was just a staple. Almost every meal, they just cooked a pot of beans alongside whatever else was being cooked. So that's an unusual thing.
Pinto beans, cheap and easy, right?
Cheap and easy, right. And they cooked them from dry. All of this is from scratch cooking.
Do you think that we're at risk of losing some of these Ozark traditions and food?
I think so, yeah. Just like we're losing the accents, we're losing the traditions in the food because people just don't have the time to do it. And that's understandable. We have a different lifestyle today than they had then. And they could grow everything. Squash was something they cooked a lot of. I have a zucchini squash pancakes, zucchini squash bread. They used, because you can grow those big zucchinis just by the tons. And there was a joke went around, you know, don't leave your car unlocked on the square during the summer because you'll find a big bag of zucchini in there when you get back if you do. Because people had to get rid of it.
It grew so.
Yeah, it was like a weed, you know, once you got it started.
I like zucchini and squash bread.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
My mother even made a jam using zucchini.
Oh. Do you have dishes that you still like to cook today?
I still cook beans and but since I work all day every day, but I work at home, so I put them in the slow cooker and let them cook overnight in the slow cooker, and then they're just perfect the next day for a midday meal, which is when we eat our big meal. And I still make cornbread, not all the time anymore, but I still do, and I like to make bread. My mother had several bread recipes that are just really good, and I like to make those. Those are some of, and fried chicken. We still like fried chicken. But it's difficult to go from scratch anymore on a lot of that stuff. But I do home make my noodles like Mother used to make, just roll them out and cut them and let them lay there and dry and drop them in the chicken. Things like that I still like to do. But I'm guilty of not being near as good a cook as she was. But I do like to prepare things like that once in a while.
Is there a dish that today kind of characterizes the Ozarks?
Oh, goodness. Just one dish. I don't know that there would be a meal, maybe. I think probably the meals that most characterize the Ozarks are meals that were served at dinner on the ground when they had the decoration days. Because I think decoration days are really still held more in the Ozarks than any place else. There may be other places in
Meaning
the South.
Decorating cemeteries?
Where you decorate. Mm-hmm. They go out in the morning, clean the cemeteries all up, and the women all bring food, and everybody eats on the ground on quilts. And that's why it's called dinner on the ground. And it's not dinner on the grounds, as you'll hear people say. It's dinner on the ground, originating because they sat on the ground to eat. Now they eat at tables, of course.
But essentially a picnic.
It's a picnic. Ozark people didn't go on picnics. My uncle used to, or do barbecues in the yard. My uncle used to say, why would I want to eat in the yard? I didn't eat in here at my dinner table. And so they didn't do that, but they went to all the different decorations. And everybody brought the dish they were the best known for making. Potato salad was a big, big dish. My aunt used to make iced tea in a wash tub. She'd put a big chunk of ice in there and make the tea and dissolve the sugar in the hot tea and then pour it over that chunk of ice. And there was that big tub for everybody to dip in and get iced tea. But that was mostly for decoration and homemade ice cream. They always had a hand-turned churn for homemade ice cream.
Well, and my mom still makes, well, she doesn't hand churn it, but she has ice cream makers, and every, you know, for 4th of July, she makes homemade ice cream.
Yeah, it's delicious.
We've talked a lot about the beans and cornbread.
Mm-hmm.
What is the secret to, you know, a perfect pot of beans and the, you know, best batch of cornbread?
Perfect pot of beans, you should soak them overnight first, and then rinse that water off and start them. And you just have to put ham in them. ham hock or bacon scraps or something. I usually just save the ham bone from a ham in the freezer and just drop the whole thing in there, and then I pull the bones out, and everything that was on them is in the beans. To me, that's the best pot of beans, and it always was for any cook. And a little bit of salt, because the ham is usually salty enough. And then cook them until they're done, really done, not still, you know, rattly on the plate. They should be soft. A lot of vegetables we like crisp, but not pinto beans. Cornbread, my husband and I are always at odds about that. He likes his cornbread with no sugar and more cornmeal and very less flour because he wants it dry and crumbly. I like mine like a cake type that raises up. And so I use sugar and baking powder in mine. But when he makes it for himself, and he doesn't put but a little tiny bit of baking powder in it. And it should have some either bacon grease or lard in it, because that's where you get the flavor, the old-fashioned flavor of cornbread. And a lot of people won't use bacon grease or lard, but it really doesn't hurt you to put a little bit in the cornbread.
That's fine.
A tablespoon or two, and it has a good flavor.
And you need to make it in a cast iron skillet?
I usually bake it in a cast iron skillet. Yeah. A small one for just the two of us, and then I've got a larger one that I use when I'm trying to make a big batch.
Well, I'm conflicted because I like it crumbly and not sweet when I eat it in chili or with beans.
Yeah, right.
But I like it with honey and butter on it, and then I want it kind of sweet.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And you want to cook it till it's really got a crispy edge around it, which it'll do in a skillet better than it will in, say, a glass baking pan.
Velda Brotherton currently lives in the Boston Mountains she grew up in and is the author of Ozark Meals and Memories. Brotherton will take part in a panel discussion during Saturday's Flavors of the Ozarks event at the Fayetteville Public Library. She will be joined by Kat Robinson, Tim Nutt, and Pauline Arnold. Following the discussion, there will be a Dutch oven cooking demonstration, and guests will be able to sample the foods prepared. Susie Stevens will offer a writing workshop at 1 p.m. to help folks capture memories that are linked to food. The library is also asking for submissions to a digital cookbook. Enter your Ozark-inspired recipe by May 17th. 479-856-7250 for more information. This event is sponsored in part by the Department of Arkansas Heritage. This is Ozarks at Large.